Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about taking inspired action, raising your vibration, and creating the life that you really want and deserve after a toxic relationship. Today, we are going to talk about the emotional numbness that comes in recovery for many of us and how to sort of identify it as well as overcome it. I apologize for being a couple of minutes late today. My cat decided to come in my office and make it difficult for me to get him out. But anyway, we are going to just jump right into our content. Let me see if I can make sure I'm still live here. Yes, indeed, I am live, I think. Okay. Not if you can hear me. Okay. Hey, everybody. All right, here we go. Just for those of you who are new around here, what I am going to do is first I'm going to share with you about 10 or 15 minutes of content, and then we're going to have a discussion in here in the chat. And hey, everybody, hey, what's for tea? And we're going to just jump right into it, all right? And so stick with me here and feel free to chat as we go, and we will just do what we do. At the end of our content, I will read the cards and then we'll jump into the chat, all right? So, when I first learned about the law of attraction, I was in the middle of one of the most toxic relationships of my life. And I found a great deal of comfort in the law of attraction because this idea that I could choose how I felt, this idea that I could decide what I decided to focus on or not, blew my mind. I started to make progress. I started to develop self-esteem and even manifesting some of the stuff I wanted in my life. As time went on, I thought this was amazing. I would just tell anyone who would listen all about it, right? But I made this really huge mistake, a big one. And, you know, in the implementation of what I would call this newfound magic, even though it's not technically magic, I thought I could just push away the feelings and the emotions that I didn't want to deal with or didn't want to feel. And then I thought that I could just move on. But I was mistaken. I do truly believe in the concept of intentional vibration management because it is incredibly effective for changing your life. But what I learned the hard way is that if you don't bother to feel and process the emotions, the negative ones and or the positive ones, but especially the negative ones that come up, because we do tend to allow ourselves to feel the positive emotions when they come up. But even those are muted when we get stuck in this cycle of numbness. So by not ever processing that stuff, we are essentially putting ourselves in the place to be in some real serious pain emotionally in the long run. And I'm going to explain what I mean right now. So let me just start here. One of my go-to songs very early in recovery was Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd. Do you know that song? It starts off with, "Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home?" That was me. I was there. I was numb. At first, I felt comfortably numb, like the song says. I felt like if I could just maintain the numbness, I wouldn't have to feel the pain. That was true in the relationship as well, because during that time, I developed this coping technique that was sort of similar to Grey Rock, except I didn't fully understand what it was. There was nobody told me about Grey Rock at the time. I had to figure all this out later. And so I did it unconsciously, and I got really, really good at going numb. I numbed out, sort of. And I got so good at it that it sort of became my resting state of being. It became how I just was by default. Because I had learned that if I could just sort of numb out and sort of go to my happy place in my head, that I could stop being sad all the time and scared and miserable and all that stuff. And at the moment, that was what I needed to do when I was in the middle of the toxic crap. But the problem was that I didn't understand that by just acting as if everything was fine and everything was good, shoving my emotions down, it's not a permanent solution. And I didn't understand that at the time. And so I just tried to live in that sort of suspended state almost. But by not dealing with or trying not to deal with my emotions, boy, I created a really toxic situation for myself. Because since I hadn't dealt with all the negative stuff that I had gone through and experienced and felt, there would be times where it would all just kind of bubble up to the surface and then come out in the form of a breakdown or a freak out or whatever, and in some cases, at very inappropriate times. I was not healing. I was just getting by. I was just surviving. I would later learn that just surviving is no way to live, and it left me in that constant fight or flight state where I was always basically on the edge of my sanity, sort of. And when I wasn't there, then I was just in the state of being completely frozen and debilitated. I couldn't function like a normal person. The fact is that simply suppressing your emotions, it can be incredibly unhealthy, and it can leave you incapable of dealing with much of anything that comes up. You become paralyzed if any major issues happen, or you stay in that state of, you know, sort of spaced out all the time, not really here, kind of watching from above, that kind of thing, dissociation kind of stuff. And I learned the hard way that I was going to have to allow myself to feel the darn emotions and process them if I was ever going to heal. And that was very painful for me, because it wasn't really until years later that I figured it out. And it took a long time. But my reason for telling you this story is because I want to help you to avoid that delay that I experienced in my recovery in yours, right? So I'm going to share some really important tips with you on how to get in touch with your emotions and process them again after your toxic relationship, or even during if need be, depending on where you are mentally, physically, and otherwise. So how in the heck do you manage your feelings if you don't know what they are? It's a good question, right? Well, only about a third of adults are actually capable of identifying their emotions, according to this best-selling book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And that's probably for many of us because we were discouraged from sharing our feelings or expressing them as we're growing up. But a lot of us didn't learn that part until we were in a toxic relationship with a partner. But many of us learned it growing up. So, and then we tend to judge ourselves really harshly if we get angry at our kids or someone else in our lives. And for whatever the reason is, we do tend to bottle up those emotions, and that does tend to hold us back in both recovery and evolution on the next level. So moving out of recovery into the life we want can be really stifled. It can be slowed or even stopped by our inability to recognize and deal with our emotions. So we're going to talk about some new, more constructive ways that we can get in touch with our emotions again and reconnect to ourselves so that we can allow those things to flow through and then move forward in a more healthy way, okay? So first of all, I want to talk about the benefits really quickly of the benefits of connecting to your emotions again, because some of us are like, why bother? It sucks. It hurts. It doesn't feel good. I totally agree. But there are benefits. Number one being that you gain self-knowledge. You increase your self-awareness, which helps you to grow and evolve and develop into the person that you actually want to be, the person you actually are deep down on the inside, right? Your higher self, sort of. It allows you to clarify your goals and to direct your energies toward the things that you actually find meaningful in your life, right? It's the first step to really living with a sense of purpose and choosing your day, choosing your life without just being stuck on autopilot, right? Okay. Number two, you enhance your healthy relationships. So this might be regarding your children. This might be best friends. This might be, you know, someone, you're a partner who maybe is healthy, or a boss, or anyone. In the future, a partner, if you're not with one now, whatever. Understanding yourself and your emotions makes a deeper level of intimacy possible for your relationships. And again, I'm talking about the healthy relationships, because you can't do this with a narcissist. But when you're talking about the people that you love and care about who are close to you, you are going to be more sensitive as to how these people react to any situation that you're in, right? And you're going to be able to provide them with more empathy and moral support if you are in touch with and processing your own emotions. Bringing me to number three, you're going to build more resilience in yourself. So you're going to find that any challenge you have is so much easier to overcome when you're able to deal with and connect to your emotions and process them so that you can move forward. you're going to be able to regulate your emotions better, and you're going to have the motivation and the skills needed to deal with, you know, any setbacks that come your way. You're not going to be like I was, where you're frozen when anything comes up and happens, you know, where you just freeze and you don't know what to do, so you do nothing, and then bad stuff comes along. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And dealing with them won't undermine your self-esteem, because your self-esteem can be intact if you're, you know, processing your emotions and dealing with them and understanding them for what they are. Does that make sense? All right. And then number four, you will achieve more. You will do better in your life. Emotional awareness maximizes productivity. It maximizes your ability to grow and evolve in any way, shape, or form. You know, starting with personal stuff, going all the way to your career stuff and everything in between, it really does make a huge difference. You're also going to find yourself being able to cooperate, collaborate, connect to other people in your work environment, or even related to personal life stuff, like calling a bill collector or something, you know, without feeling so much pressure. And you're going to be able to make better decisions as a result of that. Okay. So let's talk about how you can actually go about identifying your emotions. Let me share a couple of a few little strategies with you. Okay. The first one is name your symptoms. So what do I mean by that? Well, take the time to figure out what you're feeling and put a label on it. You know, like I told you guys the other day, I told you yesterday that I was feeling like on Sunday, I was kind of depressed and sad and kind of feeling all up in my feelings because of, you know, the fact that I was acutely aware of getting older, because it was the day after my birthday. And I went into more specific details for myself, of course, but making your language for yourself as specific as possible. So, you know, sadness might mean, you know, grieving for a lost pet, or maybe it means feeling kind of out of it on a rainy day. You know, be real specific with yourself so that you know what you're feeling. Like I said, I named my feelings from Sunday. I allowed myself to process them. I cried a lot, but it was good. It was good crying. It was healthy crying. And then I, you know, went forward and released those emotions. So doing that gives you a great deal of space, if that makes sense, to process. Because when you say to yourself, this is how I'm feeling, not only are you labeling the emotion, but you're giving yourself some sort of context to work with. Because a lot of us, especially during our toxic relationships, you know, there's this phrase that people around here use all the time. You know, that made me feel some kind of way. You know, I felt some kind of way about that. And what that means is that I'm not sure exactly what I felt, but I didn't like the way I felt. You know what I mean? But you need to feel more than some kind of way. You need to acknowledge whatever it is that you're feeling and say it to yourself, if not out loud. Maybe you don't need to broadcast it on the internet, but you need to understand on your own level. Number two, you want to look deeper into the situation and the feelings around it. So keep in mind that your behavior could be, oh, you hear that? Somebody's car horn is going off. Sorry. Your behavior might be deceptive if you are like I was, and you tend to sort of shove those feelings down or cover them up when you feel like they're not appropriate for the situation. So if, for example, if you are the type of person who holds back and doesn't show affection for other people in your life because you worry they might take advantage of you, or they might take you for granted, or whatever, be aware of that and examine why you feel the way you feel in regard to that. Do you understand what I mean? So just be aware of yourself. If you notice that, you know, you don't hug your friends and you want to hug your friends, ask yourself, why do I not hug my friends? Or if it's about your kids and you find yourself, you know, not listening to them very much and feeling annoyed when they're talking, ask yourself why that is, and ask yourself, how are you going to feel about that in 10 years when they move out or something? I've been thinking a lot about the empty nest thing, which is ridiculous because I still have a 12-year-old home, but I'm there. Anyway, number three, listen to your body. Your physical sensations can reveal huge, important clues about what you're feeling. Our bodies and our minds are connected. Our emotional state is directly reflected in the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we physically feel, all that stuff. So if you're clenching your jaw all the time, or you're doing this all the time, maybe you're angry. You don't even know. you know, we tend to get so out of touch with feelings that we can't easily manage when we're dealing with a toxic person, that it becomes our norm to not acknowledge anger and pain and things that we can't really control in that situation. But it's so important for us to recognize how we're feeling. And sometimes we have to do that through our physical sensations. So, you know, if you're feeling relaxed, your muscles are all relaxed and calm, and you feel this warm glow around yourself, oh, you're probably happy about something, you know. But if you are doing the clenched jaw thing and you're like this, you're probably not that happy. Go check yourself in the mirror. You might be surprised what you see. Number four, and I say this all the time, meditation. You know, whether that is, for a lot of people, that means finding a quiet place to be for a while and exploring their emotions. And we should all be doing that. We should all be exploring our emotions. We should all be observing our feelings without making judgments. For me, sitting in a quiet place just makes my head go crazy. And so I do a little better with popping on the earbuds and moving a little bit. Doesn't have to be a lot. Could just be walking. Could just be pacing back and forth. Oh, another thing I find incredibly therapeutic is dishes. I never have that many dishes around to wash, but if I do, or even if I don't, just washing whatever, you know, doing the dishes to me is it's a boring thing, but it's something that, you know, I can sit there and look out the window. There's the physical act of cleaning the dirt off the stuff, the food, you know, the mess off the stuff, and then coming out with a squeaky clean dish at the end. There's some kind of symbolism there, I'm sure, but it's mindless. And it keeps your hands busy, and it allows you to just sort of go off in your head and do your thing. And once again, I usually listen to music while I do that, because if I don't, then my head goes crazy in all the different ways. So whatever works for you is my point. You don't have to meditate just the way that society tells us to meditate. Meditation is about clearing your head and getting all the thoughts out of there so that you can then, you know, reconnect to reality and to yourself, and sort of come back with a different, a better feeling about everything, right? Okay, now I'm going to share with you a few strategies to allow you to share your emotions or to process them as you're going through stuff. So the first one is just simply talk it over, and, you know, put your emotions into words, because that's going to be really important for, again, identifying and processing those emotions. So you can tell people how you feel. Maybe it's somebody. Don't bother with a narcissist. Don't ever tell the narcissist how you feel, because they'll just use it against you. But healthier people in your life, or a counselor or a life coach or someone who, you know, the people in our support groups that you can find at queenbeing.com/span or queenbeing.com/group-support. You know, you want to tell people how you feel, why you feel that. You can even just journal this if you don't want to share those feelings out loud to other people just yet. If it's not feeling safe for you to do that, write that stuff in your journal. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable is very scary for a lot of us, because in the past when we've done that, we've gotten bitten pretty hard, right? But as we get healthier, as we bring healthier people into our lives, we're going to find that the rewards are so much worth the vulnerability that we've had to put out there. You understand what I mean? You're going to connect on a deeper level, and you're going to feel more secure in yourself overall. And that's a beautiful thing. So this brings me to number two, start small. You don't have to jump in with your deepest, darkest secrets, right? You can, if certain subjects are feeling a little sensitive for you, or you can, you know, you're really uncomfortable with talking about certain things, like say the abusive relationship you just got out of, or you're getting out of, you know, then maybe you sort of practice. You talk about things that are a little bit less risky for you, things that, you know, you don't feel like might ruin your life or whatever. And as you become more confident in your ability to express those less scary things, then you're going to be able to, you know, more easily learn how to address those things that are bigger and more painful for you. And then you're going to be able to be healthier in that process. Number three, move your body. I say this all the time, but in addition to what it is that you're talking about, you want to recognize that, you know, exercise of any sort can be incredibly therapeutic for releasing those strong feelings. I know when I went through the whole process of losing all that weight several years ago, I was going to the gym, and I was treadmilling most of, I did a lot of treadmill work. It was not difficult, but certainly did the job. And I would get on that treadmill and I would just, like, all the things that made me mad that day, I'd work them out. You know, I'd get them going. I need to do that again. It made a big difference in the way that I felt. And I really believe that on some level it helped me manifest that healthier body that I had that I've recently need to re-get. But we'll get to that another day. I'm still working on it. But after, you know, a hard day at work, or, you know, after you go through a difficult time for anything else, you know, go get, try one of those spin classes or a CrossFit class, or just take a walk, or pop in the earbuds and go walk around your neighborhood, or dance with your kids, whatever, just move your body. And you'll find that sometimes the tension can just melt away and you don't even have to talk to anybody about it. But I still think it's important to process your emotions. Number four is to do something creative, whether it's artistic or writing or whatever. You know, art projects can be great for telling the world how you feel. Or if you struggle with, you know, the typical stuff like painting or sculpting, do anything that works for you that makes you feel creative. Maybe you bake some cookies, or you even design a board game. You know, I know, for example, one of my best friend, she's not as creative as I am when it comes to like painting and things like that, but she has a different type of creativity about her, where, you know, it really warms her up when she can go and organize a whole room in her house, or, you know, it's just a different type of creativity. So whatever it is for you that feels like a creative outlet, do that thing. It can really help. And then number five, get a coach, get a counselor. You know, if you need more help dealing with your emotions, then ask your doctor. Okay, let me just put a disclaimer here. I always think if you're struggling with this type of stuff that you should always go and talk to your doctor and make sure that it's not some other physical issue causing the trouble. I just to be safe, okay? But once you've done that, you know, look for a counselor, look for a coach you can talk to. It can be really helpful to process your emotions, to learn new techniques for processing your emotions, practice new stuff, and then also to try out the new behaviors that you want to use in a safe space. It might feel a little uncomfortable to you. Excuse me one second. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable to you when you're starting to process emotions after you've gone through this type of relationship, and even if you've never really done it before, because a lot of times when you're raised with a toxic parent, you never even learn how to do this. But don't let the discomfort stop you. That's just a temporary thing, okay? Because when you're working on increasing your own emotional awareness of yourself, you know, it's going to really put you in a position to have a better life, a better everyday experience. Things are just going to be overall so much better for you, regardless of the rest of the stuff you're going through. Let the discomfort happen is my point. That's why we talked about all that yesterday. All right, now we are going to read the cards, and then I'm going to jump in the chat and talk to all of you beautiful, amazing people. Okay, so we're going to start off, as usual, with our Dialectical Behavior Therapy Skills Deck, which is linked in the description below, but you don't need to buy it because I'm sharing all the cards with you. And today we are on number 44, Be Assertive. This is an interpersonal effectiveness skill. All right, this is your homework for today. Write it down. Here it goes. Being assertive is not the same as being aggressive. Assertive people can politely say no to requests they don't like. They can set personal boundaries if someone tries to take advantage of them, and they can ask to have their own needs met. Today, do your best to be appropriately assertive. Easy. Not really. But it is easy to do small baby steps, right? So give that a shot. All right. And our affirmation for today comes from the Gabrielle Bernstein Super Attractor deck. Also linked in the description below. Also, you don't have to buy it. And we're going to read that, and then we're going to jump into the chat. So write this down. This is your affirmation for today. Beautiful card. I don't know if you can see that. Yeah, but it says, true manifestations are powered by service and love. It's a good one, right? True manifestations are powered by service and love. All right. Now, we are going to jump in the chat and say hello to everyone. Popping right up here. Hello, what's for tea? E-Rock, Lynn, welcome. Free to be me says, in an emotional roller coaster constantly, very hard to get out. I understand completely. Hey, Sam. Yep, I've become comfortably numb, pretty much. Yep, understood. Been there, done that. Oh, yes. Yes, Lynn is like, yeah, I've played comfortably numb many times, right? It feels good a little bit at first. Yep, E-Rock gets it. What's for tea says, feel the feels, not always pleasant, but I love that Pink Floyd song. It is a good song too, though, right? I still like it. Changing my life. Hello, welcome. Welcome back. Free to be me says, thanks, E-Rox. I'm going insane. I'm so sorry to hear that. Stick with us. Made in America lady. Hello. Cool name. Hello and welcome. Lynn says, emotions for myself are hard to understand through my child abuse. Never learned true emotions through repressing truth. Yeah, I get that. And that's unfortunately very common for a lot of us. A lot of us came out of toxic homes, and that's sort of what prepared us to be in toxic relationships. We didn't understand our own value, and we didn't even really get the idea of, you know, that maybe we had any value, or that our emotions were true and real and valid. At least I didn't. Oh, this is great. What's for tea says, coming back to life and learning to fly are two other great Pink Floyd songs. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes. UNA says, exactly. You cannot maintain a state of numbness. And that's true, because if you do, it'll kick your butt in bad ways. E-Rock says, yes. After years of numbing, feeling my emotions led to more than one breakdown. I'm just so tired of surviving. To accept how things are when they're so undesirable. Right? I get it. Mindy, hello Mindy, welcome. She says, hi, thank you for your videos. You are speaking of where I am emotionally right now. I get it. Trust me, I get it. It does get better if you choose to make it better, you know? Changing My Life says, my problem is figuring out how to live. I never really learned how to feel beyond happy, sad, depressed, or stressed. Yeah, I get that. It took years. Yes, exactly. What's for tea? It's hard, but you cannot move forward unless you find a way. That's 100% true. Yes. Let's see. E-Rock says, how can they say there are only, what, 5 or 6 primary emotions? It feels like there are a lot more than that. I guess secondary emotions. I'd like to enhance my emotional literacy. Okay, right on. I'm going to do more videos on this if that's of interest to you guys. If it is, say yes, more videos in the chat right now. But yeah, I totally get that. And that's something I've worked on, and I would be more than happy to talk with you guys about. I've worked with many clients on it. It is because I believe one of the biggest pains that we have as survivors of narcissistic abuse is that we very often were never ever validated in our lives for any true reason. And what I mean is, you know, you will find people who are, you know, who would validate you, but only in order to get something from you a lot of times, and until you wake up and you see what you've been dealing with this whole time. You know what I'm saying? So something to consider there. KD, welcome. KD says, I didn't even know how numb I was until on a ride at the park in the summer, that normally I wouldn't even go on, and I thought I should try another. It was a reality check, and I still notice it. Healing indeed. Yeah, that's a great test for yourself, actually. I remember when I was in high school, before high school, I was scared to death of roller coasters. The idea of them just made me want to throw up. And this is the first time I learned how to overcome my own fears, was going and forcing myself to get on the roller coaster, and I literally pretended like I liked it, and then I started to like it, you know. But that's one of those fake it till you make it things that works. But you know, if the roller coaster had been an abusive parent or something, I would have needed to deal with my feelings about it on a much deeper level. Does that make sense? Yeah, I get you. E-Rock says, I find it pretty confusing because I'm so used to acting from a place of inauthenticity, people-pleasing. I can't do it anymore. Now I'm just a bitter, unhealed codependent. Well, let's fix that, my friend, because there's more to it than that. And it really does begin with being aware of yourself, taking the time to really get to know yourself, you know, instead of just always being afraid. Like when you feel afraid, ask yourself, why do I feel that way? Like that lady that lives downstairs from you, E-Rock, if you think about how she has treated you and you think about your visceral reaction when you see her, do you feel fear? Do you feel anger? Do you feel disgust? Really, really think about, how do I feel when I see that woman? And if you don't know, next time you see her, stop and ask yourself right away, how do I feel when I see her? Name the emotions and then work through them. Are they logical? Are they legit? Do you really feel that way? Or is it just a reaction that you're, you know, sort of allowing yourself to have because you haven't thought about how to react? And if you do notice, okay, I'm feeling fear. Well, what am I scared of? Is she going to hurt me? Is she going to just annoy the crap out of me? What is she going to do? And, you know, the police around there, they know what you're dealing with. They know what you're going through. So really figure out, is it just annoying or is it scary? You know what I mean? Just for example, something to think about. But becoming aware of those emotions is really the first step to sort of resolving them and learning how to use the intentional vibration management stuff properly so that you can then choose what comes next. Does that make sense? Okay, hey, Uncle Meow Meow, welcome back. Bonnie says, that's interesting. I definitely need to read that book. I just remember the original one from decades ago. Right on. Yep. And thanks for being here representing the Mod Squad, Miss Bonnie. I appreciate you. Changing My Life says to E-Rock, totally feel you on the bitterness. Oh, totally. I believe me. I get it. Believe me. I get it. Yeah. No worries on the typing, Bonnie. I have those issues myself sometimes. Free to Be Me says, I feel like life is unfair. Raising myself after decades of abuse. Thanks, Toxic Family, so much. Oh, honey, I get it. I get it. And that's, it is unfair. There's no question. It is unfair. But maybe what you can do is you can take what you've learned and teach it to someone else in your life and help break the cycle for them. You know, and what, take it for whatever it's worth. But I feel like if we can break the cycle for someone else, whether it's our own family or someone else's family, we can change the world one person at a time. Do you know what I mean? All right. My phone is ringing. I hope it's not important. Let's see here. E-Rock. Yeah, I got that one. Okay. Trisha Miller, welcome. She agrees with E-Rock and Free to Be Me. Jane, welcome, Jane. She says, I feel like I've become the monster now. By trying to survive, I can't be with anyone because I changed my way of thinking. I got into the mind of a monster, and I'm trying not to act like one now. Okay, that's powerful, Jane. And here's the thing. Being a monster, in fact, I should probably do a talk about ego in the near future. I guess I would need to know what you mean by acting like a monster. I do understand sort of picking up some of the behaviors of the narcissist when you're in the middle of it. That doesn't make you a monster, but recognizing that you're not happy with the way you're acting does give you the time and space you might need to start to sort of get rid of those narcissistic fleas, as we call them. So that's something. Changing your way of thinking may have given you the ability to survive that whole thing. So don't discount that, but maybe think about how you can do a little better for yourself going forward and how you can feel happier and less angry or whatever it is you're struggling with. If you want to give me some more details, I'll try to give you some better advice on that. KD says to E-Rock, I have learned that I am the same. No more fake attitudes, ways, or thoughts. It's not bad. It's just how to say and do what's true, but a nicest way so we are not those we cannot stand. Yeah, totally. It is definitely a challenge, and it feels unnatural for us sometimes to set boundaries when we have that people pleaser thing going on, which many of us developed in childhood and didn't know any better, you know. And I can't sit here and tell you that I'm still totally not a people pleaser, because I certainly do want to make people happy in my life, and sometimes I do go above and beyond in order to do that. But at the same time, what I've learned is that if I can't take care of my own stuff, I certainly can't take care of anyone else's stuff. So I always make sure that I'm covered first, if that makes sense, or that my kids are covered or whatever. You know, I know people who will give you the shirt off their back, but then they don't have another shirt to put on. And that's where I used to be. And I don't do that anymore because now I understand, I need to put on my own oxygen mask first, like they say in the airplanes. You know, in order to take care of someone else, you have to be able to take care of yourself. And that includes doing favors for people and bending over backwards for people who don't deserve it, you know, or even people who do, if we're being honest. You have to take care of yourself first. Yeah. And yes, there is a way to say it as politely as you can without hurting anyone's feelings or trying not to. But when it comes down to the bottom line, you know, sometimes you might have to be a little harsh with certain people in your life, especially the toxic ones, because people who are not toxic usually won't push you too hard. If you just say, this is what I can do, this is what I can't do, whatever, they're usually like, okay, I feel you, I get it. But toxic people will push you beyond your comfort levels. They'll take more than you want to give, and it gets ugly. So be careful with that. Bonnie says, Angie, the crap never ends. Girl, I feel you. She said, now I got to deal with out-of-state daughter-in-law's mom, who is a major backstabbing narcissist and needs to be the best Grammy ever. Listen, let her think whatever she wants to think and only deal with her if you absolutely have to. I really don't think you absolutely have to. I don't know the whole situation. But if you do have to deal with her, what do you deal with her on? Only the business of grandparenting your grandchildren, right? Or of parenting your adult children, which doesn't really require a whole lot of interaction with each other. But I would not deal with her unless you have no choice. And then if you do, I would keep it very, very surface and let her think whatever she wants to think. Let her be the best Grammy ever. She's out of state. It's fine. She can say whatever she wants and she can act however she wants. Don't let it get to you, Bonnie, because you know the truth and I know the truth. You're really the best Grammy ever. Right? Okay. E-Rock says, and I think I just realized it's not fair and justice does not exist. So what now? Being the perpetual victim? Even though I don't like the way I'm talking to myself in this comment, but probably once we start to feel these things, the pendulum swings to the far opposite side and takes a long time to gain balance. At least that's what I'm telling myself. Yeah, I do think it's important not to live in that state of perpetual victimhood. And part of that is taking responsibility for your part in stuff. But I don't want you to take responsibility for your abuse, if that makes sense. I just want you to take responsibility for the point at which you recognized what was happening and you got the heck out of there, right? I don't want you to, you know, so many survivors, you know, find themselves still in the relationship and they beat themselves up because they haven't left yet. They have legitimate reasons, like they don't know how they're going to support kids alone, or they don't know where to go or where to live. They don't have anybody to back them up because the narcissist isolated them from everyone. Or they don't have any money because the narcissist is financially abusing them. There are so many logical reasons that people stay stuck for a little while, but people then beat themselves up and, you know, they learn about narcissistic abuse and they're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness it's not just me first. And then they go, oh, but I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. So how do I stay? Well, I can tell you how to stay, but it's not a way to live. It's a temporary thing. You can't live like that forever because you will not ever be able to get in touch with yourself. You will never be able to feel and process your own emotions. You'll just be living in this fake state of existence meant to just keep that person calm and not mad at you. That's exhausting. Nobody should have to live like that for long. We all live like that for too long already. You feel me? Trisha says she's frozen. She gets it. Yeah, I feel you. Mo Cowboy says, E-Rock, upside... Mo Cowboy says he slaps E-Rock right upside the head. Now carry on with your negative self-talk and use the just to chain yourself into a narrow definition of self. Upside the head. Now carry on with your negative self-talk and the use of just to chain yourself into a narrow definition. Okay. So I see what you're saying, Mo Cowboy. I see what you're saying. He says here, E-Rock, the wonder-filled, talent, caring, sharing, delightful human, E-Rock that is, have a cookie. E-Rock, we love you, and you need to recognize that even though you might be alone physically where you are not alone in this world. Please realize that. We got you, as much as we can get you. KD says, nothing is fair, people can be sick, and as we heal, we begin to see the nice people again. That's right, but I agree with all said by all so far. That's a valid point. As we start to heal, we do start to become more aware of, and we start to attract again healthier people into our lives, nicer people, decent people. You know, and remember that even when someone seems nice and almost perfect, just you don't need to let them into your inner circle right away, and you don't need to share your deepest, darkest secrets with them right away. You know, protect yourself, but also, you know, start, like I said, start small. You know, if you say you meet somebody at a support group, or you meet somebody at church, or you meet somebody at the grocery store, don't spill your whole life story the same day you meet them, or the same week, or even the same month. You know, that's something that is, it should be reserved for people who you trust with that information. And the reason I say that is because when you are in a situation with a toxic person, if you can all think back to, if you've been in a romantic relationship or a friendship, because this is a little different when we're talking about parents, right? But if you've been in a romantic relationship or a deep friendship with a narcissist, and you think back to that first really long phone call or that five-hour conversation you had laying on the bed together, or, you know, how in the beginning of relationships you always have those really long talk sessions, whether they're by phone or text or whatever, depending on how old you are and where you live and all that stuff. And when you had that conversation, probably both of you shared deep, dark secrets, and it felt comfortable and good and natural and normal. But if you think really hard, sometimes the narcissist would come back and use those secrets against you. Does that ring true for you? It did for me. You know, and all of us, I mean, I think most humans have a certain fear of abandonment. Some of us might have deeper fears of that, because whether we were physically or emotionally abandoned by someone in our lives, it's happened to us and we get it, right? And I think whatever the fear is that we have, the narcissist will take it and use it against us later. And that's why I say, don't share your whole story. Don't share your deepest, darkest secrets and fears until you know that you can trust someone. Just a little tip from me to you. That's why I think it's helpful to get a coach or a therapist or someone who can listen to you without being directly involved in your life, right? I mean, I have a number of clients who I'm probably the only person they tell some of their secrets to, but I'm not living next door to them. And even if I were, I still wouldn't say anything, because I'm like that. I'm ethical, you know. But, you know, they don't have me in their daily lives unless they're watching these videos, and they don't have to share me with other people in their lives. So I'm a safe place for them to share what they're feeling without having to worry that it's going to come back and smack them in the face, or what their deepest, darkest secrets or their fears, whatever. And this is one benefit of having a therapist or a coach or someone there for you that isn't directly connected to your life. Let's see here. Bonnie says, now I have to walk on eggshells around the daughter-in-law's mom, who comes to visit quite often and needs to be queen of the castle and kingdom. Oh. Well, Bonnie, then I wouldn't invite that person to your home if I were you. And if you can avoid spending too much time with her, I would do that. And again, if you need to spend time with her, great, rock her butt. Just be fake friendly, fake polite, not too deep, not too serious. Think about, if you were a customer service rep and the really cranky customer showed up, how would you treat them? Just treat them like that. Treat her like that. And don't let her get into your heart, because you and I both know, again, you and I both know who the real awesome grandma is. Okay. Changing My Life says, hey, and let me say this one thing, Bonnie. She's probably overcompensating because you are there and she is not. You live closer. You're able to see them more often and she cannot. So that is her own insecurity shining through. So recognize that. And so if you want to make things with her a little better, and this is going to make you want to slap me, but go ahead, it's okay. You might try to validate her a little bit. So if, you know, she's like, oh, look, I bought this $4 billion item for the baby, you can be like, oh, you're such a good grandma. I'm so glad to be a co-grandma with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't ignore the good things she does. Like, acknowledge those things and praise her a little bit, but definitely don't call her out on her negative stuff. Again, I'm only telling you this because you only have to deal with her sometimes. If this was like a personal, direct relationship where you had to see her all the time, then I would not recommend this. But if just seeing her sometimes, you can really make a friendlier environment for yourself by simply just not provoking her and praising her in the process anytime you get the opportunity to do that. Even if you have to be like, oh, that's such a great top you're wearing, where'd you get that from? Or, you know, I love your hair, whatever. But praise her on the grandma crap as much as you can. I know it's crap. I know you don't want to have to do it. But if you do that, she will be nicer to you. And she's very threatened by you, I assume, because you're there and she's not. And you're seeing the grandchild more often than she is. And that's probably pretty difficult for her. So if you kind of give her, oh, somebody just became a member. Hold on a minute. Who was that? Phoenix. Hello, Phoenix. Welcome back, I want to say. I think you've been here before, but if not, welcome for the first time. I'm happy to have you. Welcome to the Spanily. Okay, Bonnie, I hope that was helpful. Changing my life says, free to be me. Mine feels worse because it's a religious family that focused on obedience and success. So I can't even say it was mainstream toxic, but I'm still damaged. Oh, honey, here's the thing. I understand. I grew up in a similar situation, I think. The person that was my first narcissist was very religious. I'll just say that. And definitely that was thrown in my face on a consistent basis. It was something that I was treated badly. I was treated like I wasn't good enough because I didn't measure up to whatever it was. And I still today struggle with organized religion as a result of it. With that being said, it might be more mainstream than you think. I mean, whether it was a cult situation or just a regular religious situation, even healthy religions have unhealthy people in them that sometimes tear you down. You know, I think what it comes down to is learning, you know, to be aware, self-aware, doing your own research, figuring out who it is that, or what it is that you believe, whether it's religious or otherwise, but also to separate the abuser from the church in your mind. Even though they might use the church against you or the religion against you, try to separate the abuser from the religion and research whether, you know, figure out whether you still believe that stuff or not. And it's okay if you don't, and it's okay if you do. And then find a healthier place to express your spirituality and do your worship or whatever it is that you're doing. I hope that's a little bit helpful. I have changed my life. I have made videos about religious abuse in the past. YouTube does tend to suppress them because they don't like that concept. But if you, you know, if you want to find them, you can just type in Angie Atkinson religious abuse, and you can also type in Angie Atkinson cult. There's a few different things about that. Someone's calling my phone again. I hope it's not an emergency. Okay. Yeah, I'm getting, let's see. Changing my life says, mine feels worse because it's, oh, I already said that one. Okay. Mo Cowboy says to E-Rock, you were awesome, so wonderfully multifaceted. Yes, I agree. Stop beating yourself up, my friend. What's for tea says, I have to leave for an appointment, but I will definitely finish this up because I need this. Have an awesome day. Thank you, What's for Tea, for coming in. I appreciate you, my friend. KD says, this way of life is purposely ignored. Is a purposely ignored pandemic by the masses. Alert warning. That's the truth. That's the truth. Hey, Richard Dobbins. Welcome back, my friend. Sounds like a backup alarm, he says. Oh, on the car. Yeah, I think that's what that was. Hey, Grace. Welcome back. Grace says, yes, I love to use the feelings wheel that can be found and printed online. It has dozens of feelings named, and I can circle or otherwise mark each feeling I've been having and track them. I love that. And on that same note, one of my clients, who is a scientist by trade, she decided she was going to try to figure out what was going on with her narcissist. And so what she did was she, and I know this is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to come back to the what you just said. She went ahead and she color-coded her days. So whenever she would have a good day with the narcissist, it would be this color, let's say red, let's say green. And let's say when she would have a bad day, it would be red, or, you know, if it was kind of in the middle, it would be yellow. And then she would mark down whatever it was that she was feeling and dealing with that day. And then she would go back and look and see, she found a pattern, more than one, but let's just give you one example. She found one pattern that was every time her ex would be ready to see his adult children who were not her children, he would start a big fight with her. And it was like he didn't want her there when they were there. And she realized this was an ongoing thing. And so then she just said, well, why don't you want me there when your daughters are there? You know, and then this opened up a whole big can of worms. But I thought that was so smart for her to be able to recognize the patterns that way. We can do the same thing with ourselves. I once used a calendar for a similar purpose, but it was more about myself, where I did the color coding of days for happy, sad, and you know, somewhere in the middle, kind of meh days. And I, when I say happy, I mean positive or negative, not really happy or sad, just a good day or a bad day, how I felt that day, whatever. And I was able to recognize some really funny and interesting patterns in myself relating to, you know, my monthly cycles. And like I always know, now I know, there's like 2 days a month when I'm starving and I need chocolate and red meat. And then there are about 3 days a month where I'm thinking the whole world's about to end. And then otherwise I'm pretty good. You know, so it's kind of interesting, but I have figured out that I do believe those are all connected to the hormonal cycle that many women go through in their lifetime. And when we experience, you know, the monthly thing, there are certain days when the hormones are deeper and whatever. So they say that men also go through a similar thing, but they just don't have the part we have. Let's say the physical evidence of such. Okay. All right. E-Rock says, just because has a certain kind of status somewhere and other people don't see it. Sometimes that's the modus operandi. Don't react to the covert provocations. I feel like I missed part of that. But for some reason, they're only showing me top chat right now. Maybe that's why. Okay. E-Rock says, I feel attacked. And I'm assuming that was in relation to what I said about your neighbor. So sit down and write this down. Why do I feel attacked? What is she physically attacking me or emotionally attacking me? And what can I do to change the way I feel when I see her? You know, and maybe you start off by recognizing she's insane and trying to feel just cautious or just almost sorry for her. I mean, you don't want to get too deep into the feeling sorry for her because she's obviously a predator when it comes to her behavior, but she's clearly not sane, right? I mean, we would agree on that, I think. All right. Bonnie says, I feel like I want to punch out my daughter-in-law's mom who's coming to town this weekend. Yep, there it is. She's totally insecure and threw me under the bus. I won't punch her, literally, virtual punch. Well, Bonnie, if it makes you smile when you're dealing with her this weekend, you know, visualize yourself punching her a little bit. Maybe it'll help. Or do the thing where you imagine she's in your head and you're pushing her out and she comes right out your nose. Either way, maybe she splats on the floor underneath. Sorry. Whatever it takes to get through it. But just remember that her own insecurities are her problem. She's jealous that you spend more time than she does with the baby or the children, I'm guessing. Bonnie says, I was expected to be the perfect daughter to my elderly narcissist mother. Now I gotta deal with a jealous, out of state, out of her mind, other grandma who wants to one up me. It never ends. Look. Let her think she's one upping you. Who cares? I mean, the truth is that both the daughter-in-law and the son know that you're an amazing grandma. And just keep telling yourself, we all know who the real, great, amazing, awesome grandma is, but let her have her little pettiness. You know, she's only there so often, she's not there every day, and let her think whatever she wants to think. Because ultimately, I mean, if she's actually throwing you under the bus, that's another story. You got to tell me the story so I can tell you how to deal with that better. But if she's just being a little baby about stuff and whiny and, oh, what about me? La, la, la. Let her have it. You know, just let her have it. It's not worth your energy. And your grandchild will also know who the true best grandma is, if they don't already. Mo Cowboy says, coffee kicking in. I think I use coffee to stop the numbness. Okay, that's not funny, but it is funny because I definitely never use coffee to stop the numbness. Sarcasm. I love coffee. And in fact, oh, excuse my lipstick here, but if you look at this cup, I don't know if you can see this, but it says like, don't, you know, shh. And then it says, not yet, almost. Okay, you may speak now. My sister bought me this cup and I just love it. It's so funny. All right. But I get you. I get you. I definitely don't want to deal with life without having that work for in my favor. All right. Trish says, did you recommend a book? Well, there was that book that I talked about. The what was it called? Let me see if I can find the title. Yeah, Emotional Intelligence 2.0. Sorry about that. I knew it. I just couldn't remember it. Anyway. Okay. Grace says, no, not the dishes, my nemesis. Look, I know what you're talking about. I do. I hate the dishes too. Now I just never have dishes because I just wash them all right away as soon as I use them. But for a long time, I was one of those people who would like stack the dishes. And it was terrible. And I just dreaded doing them. So now I've created a new habit where there are never dishes in my sink ever, ever. If a dish gets dirty, it gets washed immediately. My kids know the deal. Thank goodness. It makes my life so much easier. Just put away the dishes. That would be great. But if that dishes were so therapeutic, it's because of those times that I would have to go do the giant piles of dishes. You know, like I'd wait a week. This is so embarrassing. I'm pretty honest with you guys. So I'm pretty sure you won't judge me. But if you do, I understand. But I would wait like a week to do dishes and it would be horrible. I would feel overwhelmed. I would be scared of it almost. And so then I would be like, okay, I'm going to do it. I'd roll up my sleeves and I'd go in there and turn on the music and just start washing. And by the time I was done washing the dishes, I'd feel amazing, you know, and then I'd be like, why don't I do this more often? It took me about, I don't know, 10 years to figure that out. But now I never have dishes in my sink, and that is a beautiful thing. Richard Dobbins says, is in the book Running on Empty, the author talks about keeping a journal where you do an emotional check-in several times a day. It does help. It looks like YouTube just skipped over a bunch of stuff I said. And if it did, I'm sorry. I don't know what I missed. But let's see here. Yeah, Richard, that is a great suggestion. Mo Cowboy says to Vicky, did I miss Vicky's stuff? Vicky, welcome back. I'm sorry if I missed your comment. I really need to fix this top chat stuff. Mo Cowboy says, Vicky, I am sad and angry all day yesterday and couldn't sleep last night. Thankfully, Miss Bonnie sat with me in Cyberland. Aw, I'm so glad you guys are connected. E-Rock says, I think Dana said our feelings are not negotiable in terms of right or wrong. One might be seeing things not clearly, but to be attacked for expressing how one feels is psychological warfare. Dana, as always, is right. I agree with that 100%. And I absolutely know. This is the thing. Look, this is the thing that I think so many of us desperately crave and need is someone to say, you know what, I get you. I understand how you feel and mean it. Because nobody validates our feelings growing up, or if they do, then later in the toxic relationship, your feelings are not validated. And when you go through life always feeling like your feelings aren't real and don't matter, it does so much damage to your soul and your psyche and yourself. And when you recognize that those people were wrong all that time, sometimes it takes years, decades, then it can be a relief, but also, you know, you think to yourself, where could I have been? I always do anyway. I always wonder. In fact, I say to my children, if someone had taught me the things I'm teaching you when I was your age, I might be ruling the world right now. And I halfway joke when I say that, but I know I could have been more powerful in my life and created even more change and difference for other people than I am creating. But at the same time, I don't know that I would understand what I understand. And so I try not to look at it like a bad thing, because I think that you and the rest of the fellow survivors that I help are part of my purpose and part of the reason I had to go through that and be here now. And I don't mean to put any blame on anybody. I don't mean it like that, but I just mean we all know how difficult it is to really understand the depths of narcissistic abuse unless you've experienced it, because there's so much subtlety to it and it's not always that easy to put in writing. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say in writing, I should say in words, but also in writing. And in fact, it was writing that first brought me to you. I was writing my own feelings and people kept reaching out to me and saying, hey, I get that, I get you. And I was writing not just my feelings, but also researching, because I was a journalist by trade, researching on a deep level why I was feeling that way, why those people were treating me that way, what it all meant. And I was putting it all together on my personal blog just so I would understand it. And also because why do all that research for nothing, even though it was for something. And I wasn't even really promoting that stuff very much, but for a long time, those were the most, you know, still today now, of course, but before I officially, you know, decided, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. Narcissistic abuse recovery, because it's not glamorous, it's not awesome. I mean, it sucks, but But having some, and what I mean by that is I don't want to keep thinking about that every day of my life. That's why I do Shine Buzz Daily now instead of Toxic Relationship Rehab every day, you know? Although I will still be doing occasional videos about narcissism in order to bring in new people who need my help. I will not, on an everyday basis, be really focused on the narcissist. As you guys know, I focus on you and me and what we can do to be better after that. But it took me being able to understand that for you to even want to listen to what I had to say. Do you understand what I mean? Okay, I'm getting off track. But you get my point. My point is, Dana's right. Our feelings are not negotiable. Our feelings are valuable, and they matter. And we, you are valuable. You matter. Your feelings matter and are valid. And if anybody tells you they're not, those aren't your people. Don't forget. All right. Bonnie says, yes, I like that. Meditation and clean dishes in your head. Yes, right? It is good. It feels good, right? Same thing for cleaning your house if that's something you're real focused on. So yes, journaling, Trish, totally. Journaling is very helpful. Absolutely. Mo Cowboy says to Vicky, when I feel like this, am I horrible for wanting to tell Miss Miss Bonnie to punch her? Oh no, look, I get it. Trust me, I want to tell her that too, but we all know that's not going to be productive. It's definitely not going to help her be the best grandma. She's already the best grandma. She just needs to own that and put it in her heart and recognize it. I'm also sorry. Hey, Vicky. I'm also sorry that you had a bad night, Mo Cowboy. Trust me, I think it's something in the air. I heard Mercury retrograde is almost over, so anyway, if you're into that sort of thing. Yes, that's right. Exactly. Don't punch her, but it's okay to feel like punching her. That's right, Mo Cowboy. Exactly. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. What movie? Where? Oh, reminds me of that movie Steel and Magnolias. Oh, yes. The funeral scene. Oh, my gosh. I know. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yes. Okay. Bonnie says to Mo Cowboy, thank you. That really does mean a lot to me, but I will try to be civilized in a not-so-civilized society. But never a pushover anymore. Yes, girl. No more pushover. Totally with you. Grace says slapper. Magenta says, oh, wow, lots of chat already. I'm a little late. Good morning. Good morning, Miss Magenta. I'm so happy you came in today. Nicole says, I'm happy to wake up to this. I needed all this advice today. I'm so glad, Nicole. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. All right, let's see. One day at a time, says Don Payne. Totally agreed. Bonnie says it may just be a slap down cage match. Right on, girl. Okay, but Vicky offers some really, really legitimate advice that is true and that I want to reiterate here. Respond, don't react. Violence is never the answer. And she, I know that Bonnie knows that logically and she's just playing around, but I want to say this. It's okay to joke around and have fun sometimes. But definitely never, ever, ever physically strike out at another human because there's just no benefit to that except for horrible pain for everybody involved. Yeah. And Grace sees that. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Yeah, there is. There's the cemetery scene with Steel Magnolias. It's hilarious. It is. It's quite funny. And also, we get it, don't we? Bama says, I want to know how to deal with a religious covert narcissist who's pretending to be a pastor. Why do they surround themselves with people of stature and influence? Because, you know, being a pastor is being a leader. It's being the one who's the center of attention, at least during church stuff. And they enjoy that stuff. And I'm going to just try to take it easy with what I'm saying here on this because there is a very close person to me, well, formerly close person to me, who is in that position. And you have to, look, if it's the pastor at your church, go to a different church or don't go to the services they attend or whatever. If it's someone in your family, you may want to disconnect from that person. The fact is they won't change and they use their religion against you to judge you. They feel justified in judging you. They feel justified in, you know, thinking less of you because whatever it is. And, you know, that's not your fault. Bama, I would suggest you look, again, like I was mentioning earlier, look up Angie Atkinson Religious Abuse or Angie Atkinson Cult, and I think you'll find some of my videos on that stuff. Magenta would totally cage match with her ex. She would lose, but it would be exhilarating. Get it, girl. Erock says, yeah, what bothers me is these types distract you with thinking you need to... Now it went away. Okay. Erock says, this is what I've heard by a source I trust. One of the bacteria... Oh, okay, we're not going to talk about that. Yeah, self-validation. Okay, guys. Hey, C. Yeah, very good comments here today. I'm going to wrap up for today, but... right on. I'm going to wrap up for today, but I will see you guys tomorrow at the same time. And just to give you a little bit of an early heads up, I used to have my business meetings on Mondays, and I changed them so I could be here live for you guys. But unfortunately, my assistant is now working another job, following her passion, and I'm not ready to lose her just yet. So I'm going to change my Monday videos to a recorded video instead of a live video. But I will then be here Tuesday through Friday with live videos. So I hope you guys are cool with that. And if you have, yes, balance, absolutely, yes. Okay. Have a lovely day, everybody. And as always, hey, Chris, nice to see you today. Thank you for being here. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. Thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me, and I'll see you soon. All right. Find the thing. I should always be prepared to hit the button before I say all that, right? Okay, now I'm really leaving. See you soon.